Happy holidays and happy new year, everyone. Today, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations we've had this last year in regards to the Delphi murder case and the charges against Richard Allen.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
What is going to happen with Judge Gull? The transcript of the closed door meeting, the attorneys that have been kicked off of the trial. Where does this all lead us to? Lots of missteps along the way. Here to discuss the latest in the Delphi murder case and investigation, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Where do you think this is going right now? The new trial date set for October 24, but if the attorneys are reinstated, they said they want to go to trial within 70 days. A lot is up in the air at this moment in time.
Well, I love that they say the 70 days because I think Richard Allen and really most defendants deserve that to get their trials done as soon as possible. So I think that's interesting they put that out there. I wondered if it might play into sort of some decision-making that is going on right now. The 27th is when Judge Gull has to turn over her reasons for not wanting the transcript of that closed door meeting released. And, you know, that's going to be really interesting to see what the upper court decides on that. They seem to me to have been a little bit short-fused on dealing with Judge Gull. And also, what's so interesting, Tony, Judge Gull just put out new orders unsealing information for the first time. And this is information dating clear back to June. I found that very telling.
Is she backtracking? Is she trying to correct these wrongs now that there's a microscope on her and people are going to start holding her more accountable?
That's what I see happening. You know, there's very strict rules about sealing information.
Yeah.
It has to be for very specific reasons. You can't just seal a whole case away from the public eye. Mm-hmm. That's not how our system works. You know, you can do it if it could jeopardize somebody's life, if it could jeopardize ongoing investigation of somebody else you're looking at, which is, again, what the attorneys argued. The prosecutor said, well, listen, there's somebody else. You know, we believe there was somebody else said that in open court for all of us to hear.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons for the sealing. Was that true? You know, I really wonder if that's true or if they think Richard Allen acted alone. But they put it out there. And I see Judge Gull now going back and saying, wait a minute, I can't really support this being sealed and this being sealed and this being sealed. It's unbelievable her undoing that.
And it is very interesting because, I mean, I understand at the beginning when you're in the investigative stage why you'd want that sealed. You don't want someone else to know. Maybe you're on their tail in terms of trying to investigate someone and making an arrest. But obviously that has not happened. It's just been Richard Allen rotting in jail for the last year. But there were a lot of interests in other suspects. One of them, Ron Logan, the FBI going as far to say there was probable cause that he killed Abby and Libby. And the judge even agreed. You had tweeted about that recently. Do you think we're going to go any deeper in looking at more suspects, or does there need to be some sort of a larger reset in this case to go down that road? Are they just still going to keep trucking ahead on Richard Allen?
I think they're going to keep trucking on Richard Allen. I think that they have put all their eggs in one basket, if you will. I think a lot of the evidence actually points toward Richard Allen. He puts himself at the crime scene. Of course, so does Ron Logan. Mm-hmm. But he also, this bullet, not spent casing, but just a bullet that would have been manually extracted, right? It was found near the girls, and that bullet has been traced back to his weapon. So you have that connection. And that's kind of a big connection, Tony, but we've talked about this a little bit in the past. It's really going to come down to probably two different ballistic experts arguing whether that's truly the exact same tool marks that are on that casing.
How difficult is that to argue in court? Because I know, I mean, we've heard you know, bits and pieces of that over some of the cases that we've been talking about this last year. I know there's a science to it, but I know it gets argued quite a bit in terms of how accurate it is.
Well, where this case is different than most, for instance, the Caitlin Armstrong case, where they had a very similar situation, those were spent casings. In other words, the velocity of that weapon when it fired, the extractor and the ejector made marks on that casing when it expelled it from the gun. That's a whole different deal than when you manually eject something. It just doesn't have that velocity and power behind those tool marks being impressed on the casing. So while they still say, experts still say that they can show the sort of fingerprint on the casing that's unique to that extractor and that ejector making, I think it will be much more easily argued by the defense than other cases because of that.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.